Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
This week is National Sleep Awareness Week. Makes sense. We all lost an hour of sleep over the weekend with the beginning of daylight saving time. Let's talk a little bit more about how essential it is to get a good night's sleep and why it's important for our health. Joining us right now is the chief medical officer for ResMed, a company that develops technology and devices for sleep apnea and other respiratory diseases, Carlos Nunez. Carlos, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, we all hear and know that good sleep is important, but why is it so important? What are some of the benefits of getting good sleep?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, sleep is one of the three pillars of good health: sleep, diet, and exercise. And we spend a lot of time talking about diet and exercise, and we often neglect our sleep, but it is so important, as you say. Good sleep leads to a well-functioning immune system. Your brain works better. Being not tired during the day allows you to perform better at work, perform better at home. But those are the short-term things. People who don't sleep well are also at risk for a variety of medical conditions later in life, everything from risks for high blood pressure and type 2 diabetes or obesity to things that are even scarier. We see evidence that poor sleep might increase your risk for things like Alzheimer's. So it is more important than ever to know how good sleep can affect your life for the better, and that what you need to do to take care of your sleep.
And when we talk about getting a good night's sleep, is that a solid 8 hours? Is it 7 hours? Is it 10 hours? What's the optimal number?
Yeah, for everyone it varies a little, but it's somewhere between 7 to 9 hours, which is where we get that 8 hours of sleep from, since it falls right in the middle. But probably just as important as the number of hours is the schedule. It's better to go to sleep more or less same time every night, wake up more or less same time every day, 7 days a week, not different for work versus days off. And having a good environment that allows you to sleep soundly during those 8 hours or 7 to 9 hours. And then lastly, if you do have some sort of sleeping disorder, whether it's insomnia, restless leg syndrome, or something like sleep apnea, ask your doctor, talk to your physician about what you need to do to be tested if there's a risk for a sleeping disorder and what the treatment options are.
This has been such an unusual year where people have been working from home. People have been perhaps not working at all. How has that affected people's sleep?
Another great question. Yeah, we did a survey just recently to understand how this last year has affected sleep. And Americans, half of Americans are reporting that stress and worry and anxiety has negatively impacted their sleep over the last year. More than a third are having a harder time falling asleep, or they're waking up. People are napping more. Women are doing worse than men. They're reporting much worse sleep quality than men. Almost 10% more are reporting worse sleep quality. And you know, it's all come together with the stress of the pandemic. And as you mentioned, we normally worry about our jobs and money and health and family. Imagine the types of worry piled on top of the normal kinds of stress with the pandemic. And you can see that it's impacted our sleep as a country.
You mentioned a moment ago sleep apnea. Let's talk a little bit more about what that is.
Sure. It's one of the most prevalent, meaning one of the most common diseases in the world, and most people don't even know they have it. Nearly 1 billion people have sleep apnea. That's more than have diabetes, asthma, heart failure, lots and lots of diseases. And what it means, it literally means while you're sleeping, you stop breathing. And people with mild to moderate sleep apnea may stop breathing 5, 10, 15 times an hour. And when I mean stop breathing, it's you are suffocating. As you breathe while you sleep, the throat muscles and tissues tend to collapse. If it's not severe, the collapse leads to snoring. But loud snoring and snoring that sounds like you stop breathing, that's when the apnea takes place. Your blood oxygen starts to drop. Your brain literally believes you are being suffocated to death. It freaks out. It wakes you up just enough to take a breath, but not enough to wake you up completely. So you don't even know it, but 5, 10, 50 times an hour in a severe case, you are suffocating to the point of oxygen deprivation and being woken up by your brain enough that you never get good restful sleep. So you may lay in bed thinking you're asleep for 8 or 9 hours, and you will wake up exhausted, drenched in sweat, often headaches, scratchy throat. But again, more importantly, it could lead to devastating health consequences later in life.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds exhausting just the way that you describe it. If somebody thinks that they might have sleep apnea, or they are at least waking up every morning feeling exhausted, feeling like they've not had a good night's sleep, what kind of treatment is available?
Yeah, the gold standard treatment for sleep apnea remains something called CPAP, which stands for continuous positive airway pressure. It's a device that sits on your nightstand, and you wear usually a small mask. I am a sleep apnea sufferer. I wear what's called a nasal pillow. It looks like a little cushion that goes under my nose with little prongs. And the devices are very quiet. They're modern. They're connected to the internet oftentimes. You know, our devices have an app, so you can see how they're working. There are other treatments. There are some surgical procedures. Not everyone is a candidate for those. They don't work on all different types of the tissues collapsing. Usually it's like an implanted electrical stimulator that moves the tongue while you sleep, and that works for some people. There are mouthpieces you can wear. Those work in mild or moderate cases, but they pull your jaw forward, so some people don't tolerate them because they wake up with a sore jaw, or they can even make your teeth move over time. So over 30-plus years of trying to figure out the best way to treat this, and CPAP remains the treatment of choice.
Naps, yes or no?
So, good question. Controversial topic. if you have to nap during the day, it's probably a sign that you're not getting good sleep. If you are going to nap, you hear the term the power nap, you know, a short 10 to 15 minutes just sort of recharge the batteries. If you do any longer than that, you start to get into a situation where it could be counterproductive. If you start to nap longer and you get into deep sleep or REM sleep, you might make it difficult to get that restful sleep at night.
Interesting. Where can people go for more information about sleep apnea and other sleep issues?
Great question. Sleepforbettertomorrow.com is a website set up just during National Sleep Awareness, set up to launch during National Sleep Awareness Week, but it'll be up forever. So sleepforbettertomorrow.com, you can answer your questions. You can even learn about the risks and the signs. And more importantly, if you have any concerns about your sleep, talk to your physician about them.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks so much for bringing this to light. Good topic, and I appreciate your information.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, and have a good night's sleep.
I hope to. Thanks. Bye-bye.